I think Statsman wants to join you. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm well.
I don't really necessarily want to join him. I was on the line.
Okay, but you've heard a lot of what he's had to say.
Yeah, well, I could talk with him, but doesn't really matter. But he really, you know, I like to fight bigger fish than these guys that don't have any information, right? Now, first thing, right? These guys is coming to the program before information. He disputing all along sometime about how the government, Mr. Thompson, gave the highest increase until the day I called and they corrected, he stayed off the line. He's spouting about consultants. About how many consultants? Is there six or something?
Eight.
There was one consultant that was paid $300,000. Mr. Geisen Mears. Mr. Geisen Mears get a contract for $300,000, and just prior to before the government had left office, to give him an additional 6 months for $120,000 more. That's $420,000 one consultant get. But you see, the thing that these guys going on, the first caller, these guys just come with rhetoric. That only goes to show the magnitude of the work that has to be done in Barbados. I'm not really nitpicking because Barbados is in the process of rebuilding and restructuring. I ain't got the time to waste with the but these guys. That they don't even understand what they're saying. They realize the minister's not even talking. The ministers realize, look, we can't talk or we should be ashamed. These guys that said they're purporting to support the DLP, they should be ashamed. I'm glad they're coming on the program. Remind you, because this is a democracy. But they're not doing anything to enhance the party that they represent because they have no information. He's talking about sending home. No one has gone home as yet, but he's talking about people that are going home. When these guys had the Swiss bank loan, they sent home 3,000 up front. Then you had attrition for 2,358 people, right? That's a total of 5,859 people. But you don't talk about that. You know, every time they come, every time they get their hand on Barbados, they collapse it. We always, the BLP always all do a rescue act. They collapsed in 1976.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Let me hear if he's got a response to you. Yes, sir. You still there?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Ellis.
Any response to what he had to say?
No, I'm concerned about, my concern is about the harshness of what is taking place. That's what, you know, when you have to speak, there are persons who will come and will say all kinds of things against you. But as you have the cries of the nation, it is not only me who talking, Mr. Ellis. I'm not talking who these cries. And you got the cries of the, you got in Central Bank, Thursday, whichever it was, massive amount of persons in there to the point where they are going to go to court. How can we play down that? And see it as
how many of them going to court?
But I don't know how many, Mr. Be ready.
And you don't know how many, and you don't know how many of them said yes and how many said no.
But no, Mr. Ellis, let me ask you, if you had a lawyer going to court, you would know if there were 100, you think that you can hear 100 people going to court?
Let me interject here.
Mr. Ellis, listen to me. When he was speaking,
Hold on. Let me lay down.
Hold on a minute.
Come through me. If you don't come through me, there's gonna be disorder. So let me control the flow. All right? Yes.
I want to ask.
Yes,
him.
To
I
who?
Want to put it.
Which one?
Let me hear him. Ellis. Let me hear Statsman. I come back to you.
I want to ask the caller if he is admitted for one moment, right? That all he's saying about what is happening in Barbados is a result This is just a result. This is just a symptom of what happened over the last 10 years. As he acknowledged that.
Do you acknowledge that, caller?
Listen to me. When he speak, I will speak afterwards. I am not going to go along with what he's going on with, because he's, listen to me, I will not allow him to dictate anything to me. You understand what I'm saying? If you do not respect the order of debating, I will just listen to him.
But to me, the question is valid.
Simple.
We didn't get here overnight.
I don't like
and
that.
And the response to all that you are saying about the hardship is that this hardship has come about because of the policies and the failure to act on the part of the last administration in Barbados. That's the response that you get. And you are behaving as though the government has just come. The Prime Minister last night said it. Isn't that she wanted to inflict austerity on people? But she said the country has been insolvent. The country cannot pay its debts. So if you can't pay your debts, what do you do? Don't you expect that there will be tough measures? I'm asking you the question first, caller. Yes.
No, he want to get on the
soapbox. Hold on, let me speak to him. Yes.
So, no one is disputing the fact or denying that the country has a financial difficulty. No one is denying that.
Do you accept that the country is insolvent?
That we need that. Yeah, we need to take measures to help recover and to bring about growth in our country. There's nobody who would say other than
that. You've got to concede that the country has been put in a position where it could not pay its debts. This talk about growth and thing does not answer the question that I put to you.
Well, I understand what you just said.
Do you accept it?
I mean, I see you that our debt, paying our debt was difficult.
Was difficult.
Because there's
a difference between accepting that it was difficult and accepting that we were insolvent. You see, because if it is merely difficult, then it is from that premise that you are going to argue that the measures that have been imposed are draconian and unnecessary.
And they're not, are you saying that they're not draconian?
No, I'm not.
Draconian?
But the question is, if the country is insolvent and has not been able to pay its debts, then you have to take very tough measures and bitter medicine has to be applied.
But I tell you something, this has gone past being bitter. This is crushing them.
Then you know there's an alternative to that. You know what it's called?
No.
You know what the alternative is?
No, I'm not saying to you that measures were not to be taken or should not be taken. But I'm saying to you the extent in which you have gone.
Let me get peace here. Right?
Yeah.
The extent of which you have gone to do that.
All right, I'm going to just let you wrap up, Stats, man. Come.
No, man. Let he wrap up. He was on the program ever since. I called to make a point about a different matter. Right?
Okay.
I really didn't want to talk to him because I know these guys.
All right, I will let you go along for a scholar and let's start.
All right, Ms. Ellis, I wanted really to make another
observation. But you can't make it now because you've been on for a fair amount of time already. So you got to come back to me another day. Yes.
I really ain't going to make my total presentation. I will just touch on it slightly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's important because I was about to call talking about the CNIS. When the IMF met with them, as far back as 2011, and warning the government ever since then that their exposure to the government, to the NIS, would obviously put the NIS in trouble. Even this number 15, the actuary review spoke about that. So, I mean, from since 2011, everyone was warning the previous administration, don't go down that road, not to go down the road. So I will not really take up much of the time because I know others want to get in. But, you know, basically that's why you want to call the boy. I could expand it, but I will not really, you know, be able to talk with him.
Okay, right? Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I am doing very well. The question that the well-spoken gentleman from the North that he was putting, it is that there was another way.
And what is that?
There was another way.
And what is that other way?
But this has been articulated over and over.
Who? By whom?
By several people.
Like who?
Now, the all of this euphoria and all of this celebration in record time, I have never seen a country celebrating to put themselves in debt. This government came to office complaining that they are over $1.something billion in debt. And within 6 months of this administration, they have further plunges into $290 million more in debt. And now getting ready, lining up the international, not the IADB, to lend us more money, over $100 million, U.S. dollars in debt, more debt piling up on top of debt. And I'm hearing a lot of euphoria and celebration in this country, with this country plunging itself further in debt, putting good money behind bad money.
I hear you, and I understand that point. But my question to you is, what was the alternative approach?
$290 million U.S. dollars.
You're like a stuck record on that.
Oh, no, man, I was trying to make a point.
Well, you thought you did already.
No, not yet. I'll get around to it. $290 million they access from the IMF. The last administration was saying, let us sell some assets. Assets that are not really important to the existence of this country. Let us sell the Hilton. Let us sell the oil company. And the same $290 million that you will have to pay back could have been realized by the sale of those state assets. And you don't have to pay back anything and put the country through the kind of turmoil that you're going through.
As I understand it, Barbados's needs go way beyond the $290 million.
What are the needs?
Well, the country's position right now, and I think if you listen to what was said by former Prime Minister Owen Arthur, he said that Barbados really needs about $600 million U.S. dollars or so.
Yes.
So that the question is, and first of all, you must concede that this whole approach to selling those particular assets ran up against certain difficulties, which made it more challenging. The road was not smooth for us to get those assets sold in the time that we needed to. The real issue that I think we need to confront is what is sustainable. Because Barbados needs more than just the money. Barbados also needs to do things differently. You know, the talk about the restructuring and that sort of thing. So it is more than that. And we could not continue along a path of having the central bank printing money and that sort of thing.
And that has changed?
Well, you know, it has not changed completely, but certainly from what the government is saying, there has been a reduction in that, and it is heavily dependent on the inflow of not only money that is borrowed, but you want to create a climate of confidence so that there is more investment in the country. Hence, something like the Ross University coming to Barbados matters, and surely other investments will be needed. I don't hear a projection that we are going to rely on the money that is borrowed alone.
Well, listen, I want to make this point. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday at the meeting, the Prime Minister said that the foreign reserves are now at $600 and something million.
Yes.
And there was a loud applause.
Isn't that partly because of the default?
Oh, Lord, I'm getting around to that. But that is like a man that you walking around with your pocket full of money, your bank account full of money, and owe courts, Cave Shepherd, you owe your mortgage, you owe your car loan. I mean, I can't understand. People in Barbados seem to have gone blind to facts and reality.
The issue is, do you accept that we have been, this government has inherited a very difficult situation?
no more difficult than what the last administration was grappling and dealing with?
You believe that? If you listened to the Prime Minister yesterday or last night, you would have heard her talk about what the debt was like in 2008. She said that in the 10-year period, this country's debt ballooned by some $9 billion.
Why was that, Mr. Ellis?
You tell us.
The fact is, you have heard about the accrual and the cash basis systems. The last administration had to bring every single piece of debt on book.
And they didn't borrow.
They borrowed very little because they could not borrow. But the point is that all of
you know one of the major reasons why you couldn't borrow. You couldn't borrow because the downgrades.
But that is...
downgrades made life exceedingly difficult.
Let me make the larger point.
What's the larger
point? The point remains, Mr. Ellis, because you threw me off of what I was reading.
My apologies.
It threw me off. But anyway, I'll get back to it. Mm-hmm. But the point remains that there was another way of doing things.
What is that other way? I haven't heard it.
I just told you what the other way was. I was talking about the debt.
So the other way was to sell these two state-owned assets.
Let's be gone past that because that is an established point. Mm-hmm. But the point remains that the debt was raised between 2008 and 2018 because the last administration had to bring all of the debt that was off book on book because of the accrual and the cash basis. You understand that?
And that was exclusively responsible for the debt ballooning by $90 billion?
90%, because there were no hiding of debt. They had to bring everything, including debt that was accumulated by the last administration.
And you are basically saying to the country that all of the blame therefore rests with the former Barbados Labour Party administration under Owen Arthur.
How you get me there? I'm not saying that.
But that's a logical conclusion.
This is shared responsibility over administrations. But what this Barbados Labour Party is trying
something
to do
like
in
the Credit Suisse loan.
But this is shared responsibility. I heard, ma'am, the Prime Minister last night on your radio station. I want you to be careful, Mr. Ellis, because she claimed that members of the last administration were corrupt.
She didn't say the last administration.
What she said then?
She said government.
And who government? What government?
Government is broad based. Government is not administration. She didn't say that.
Also, along with the ministers and the cabinet ministers, she's also saying the public officers are corrupt today?
She said government.
So who's government?
So government is the entire body, as I understand it.
Public officers, ministers, and all of that. So everybody's corrupt.
I would accept and would expect that you would be in a situation where you're not saying everybody is corrupt. Saying that there was corruption.
But who then?
You see me and this minister thing? Hold on a minute. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know this business well enough to recognize when a comment like that has the potential to take me over the edge. I think you should steer clear.
Hold on a minute.
I don't want to talk about ministers.
I cannot
because in law, as long as you go there, you are taking me into a very dangerous area.
Ministers are not corrupt then?
Yes, you're correct.
In the last administration,
as far as I am concerned, I am in no position whatsoever to speak to that. One way or the other.
You see, Mr. Ellis, I am not talking about
ministers at all, and you will be cut. Be safe on this term. Let me make the point that it can be understood. If you want to be safe on this, you will stay where the Prime Minister left it.
No, I can't leave it there.
Well, you can't, but you can't take it any further here.
No, I'm not going to go any further with it. But you see, you all can trifle with people's reputations. and trifle with and sully people's names by innuendo and all kind of thing, and put a narrative out there in the atmosphere, in the ether, that there was something wrong in the last administration. You don't zero in and make your
no, no, again. I have told you before, your zeal to defend may well put me in trouble. I have already outlined to you the language that you can use in dealing with corruption.
But
if you don't,
if you do not do that, you are going to run me in trouble.
And you know, there are a lot of people who are sitting down out there waiting for the opportunity to see if they can get some easy money.
Mr. Ellis, while you're stationed and you are not in trouble, people's reputations are sullied.
Well, if their reputations are sullied, they have recourse. They have ways and means by which they can go about trying to protect their images.
Let me leave that there, because I'm not going to get anywhere with you and that, because y'all are all in this together. But let me tell you this, though.
What do you mean by that? Hold on a minute. What do you mean by that? That you are all in this together. What you mean?
The cabal of...
That we are here trying to sully people's reputations and names?
No.
Why stop you from going down that? You're the person following a path that is potentially dangerous.
I am not dealing with that. You all, the cabal of moderators, you all are apologists in chief for the current administration. So anything that remotely puts them in a bad light, y'all don't even give callers the opportunity to make their point. Y'all jumping in and interrupting callers and stymieing criticism and all of that, and trying to derail and debunk anything that any caller calls in that is in a negative way towards this administration. I want to make this point.
But when it wants to go there, God defend, you know, God says
something. Yeah, go ahead, make your point.
The point is that there is no perfection when we sit here. But I think most people who listen to these programs understand that our primary objective is to give people an opportunity to present alternative points of view. If, as a moderator, I sit here with the whole and sole objective of having a one-sided discussion, I have wasted my time. And that is why you can call me on a regular basis and be heard.
Mr. Ellis, I want to make this point here. Did the memo get to Mr. Price and Mr. Wickham? Did the memo get to them?
We have different styles and approaches, but I will say this to you. At the end of the day, there are different people sitting here with the sole objective of encouraging alternative points of view.
Yes, well, they're doing a very poor job. I want to make the final point.
But you know, let me ask you, when you call me upon a day, you get treated badly?
Not by you. Though you are also dyed in the same kind of wool, or your wool is dyed in the same kind of paint,
yes,
you try your best. You strain at debate to make a kind of middle-of-the-road kind of presentation.
And that's why I listen to you and encourage you to talk.
But the two men criticizing them.
The point is that you will present a view, and if I don't present the alternative perspective, somebody else is encouraged to do so. Look,
Mr. Ellis,
the Prime Minister spoke last night about the pensioners.
Mm-hmm.
This program,
mm-hmm,
with all moderators,
mm-hmm,
has been a forum for pensioners and people who have been supporting them to come, mm-hmm, and tell the government of Barbados how they, mm-hmm, feel. From the very beginning, we do not hide from our reality.
But don't you think that last night that her case that she was put in is laughable? No, she's behaving like the man who likes his house and then calls the fire brigade and then projects himself
as a
hero.
Back it up.
No, she made this. She a program that was authored by her and her consultants put pressure and strain and inconvenience on pensioners of all ages. She rushes in like a knight on shining armor last night, telling the pensioners that she got their backs, but she didn't have their backs when she slaughtered them. But now pretending that she is now the knight in shining armor,
but
that she's coming to their assistance.
But in all fairness,
and the pensioners have to accept that.
In all fairness, though.
No fairness.
In all fairness, I don't know. First of all, a lot of what has been discussed is a projection to what is likely to happen when the people receive the 1% interest. I don't think to say that she has slaughtered them, I mean that very emotive term. They have not yet been slaughtered, but they are fearful that they will be. And in the meantime, the government has done what people expect it will do, which is listen to people, and if there is a need to modify, modify. Now, the other side of that is that you're going to get an argument similar to yours, that they're hasty, that they didn't think it through well, and that sort of thing. So you have those two sides of the coin to look at. Okay. Let's move on. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, Mr. Ellis. Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning.
I'm calling with a suggestion. There's some vacant properties around, to name a few would be the Old Waterworks building. Then there are some buildings on Gemmett's Lane. And then there is the old hospital on Bay Street. And I'm sure that there are others. These properties are being left empty. Last time I passed by the waterworks, I saw some doors open. The old water building, I saw some doors open. So, like, vagrants could have access and rats and rodents. So my suggestion is that these properties could be offered on a long-term lease basis to persons who have who may have some money to invest, like construction companies, or just persons who have money that they can invest in building, rebuilding these properties. And this would provide opportunities for, say, like entrepreneurs, new businesses, housing, hotels. But it would be not to sell government property, but to offer them on long-term lease. So it's giving the public an opportunity to, you know, people who are maybe out of a job now, to start new businesses and stuff like that. So that's my suggestion.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Down to brass tacks, hello. You on the air? Hello.
Hello, Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning.
I sit down here and listen to all of this calamity that is going on. But there's a couple of things I would like to say. I do not want to say that the people should not defend the former administration. But the blaring things that were happening, I don't know if they can see. They say that we can't see, but I will hope that they can see. First, begin with, the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister, had come out and said in one of his meetings that he had with his branch meetings, that he's going to change the landscape, the political landscape of this country. And at least he did that. Another thing, I, for one, had to wait until CLICO or the government, if the person, the first gentleman that spoke to you, talk about CLICO and he ain't interested in that. I am getting a payback from CLICO, and the same CLICO that it claimed that we're getting payback from is the taxpayers, because the taxpayers is filling that hole that CLICO left us in. I do not understand if people that call the program, you don't want to stop them from saying what they say, but I would like them to really think on what happened previously. The gentleman that not long called you said that the Democrat, the Barbados Labour Party, leave debt. Everybody's leave debt, and you got to pay going on. But they said to the finance minister, their finance minister said that they never default on payments. But they were not defaulting on payments, but nobody was getting paid. He said that they had so much and so much money to pay taxpayers' income tax return. We still left with income tax return to pay. We still left with all the contracts that they left people that still had 2 years to go, or only 2 years, that they put extra time on the contracts, which means that it's money to pay out, and everybody will go home happy because they had to pay them out. Then you come back now to the land position and the talking about the Hilton and the other part, the other entity that they were going to sell.
BNTCL.
Right. That went wrong, so it could not have been sold. And they wanted to sell it just, you know, fast. But they went about it the wrong way. I, for one, would like things that you like you don't get. That if the things could change back and give back the former administration, this part, this country, to finish run, see what will happen.
You really would want that, but there are a lot of other people who would be very concerned about such a move.
And why you say that is because of what happened when the gentleman said that they're killing the pensioners. I remember when those treasury bills and debentures and whatever were being offered, and they said to a couple of friends of mine, but they're doing it too quickly. How they going to pay back all this money, and in what time they going to be able to pay back the money. And the same thing happened. I had a friend that asked me, tell me that she got a couple of money she can pay. I said, well, you is a good payback. But you still got to wait, because if the government saying no, because they were saying that before, they don't have the money, they got to wait till some come in. What is going to happen? And the same thing, you fall back in. I don't like what is happening. I am still waiting on payback. So whenever the money stops, we won't get the money from CLECO.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for giving us the point of view of the average person out there. That's one perspective. We're coming back.